Good morning. How we doing? Good to see you this morning. Go ahead and take the message notes out of your, or on the flip side of your program. You can follow along with me this morning as we are in the sixth week of our series entitled The Miracle of Mercy. And in those weeks, we focused on God's mercy towards us. And so today, I'm going to shift the focus a little bit. And we're going to look at our mercy towards other people. Can you take me down just a little bit? Thanks. Got hearing aids, and now I hear too well. And so I feel like I'm like yelling. And by the way, you can't talk behind my back anymore because I will hear you now. All right, so I'm just fair warning. So how do we allow the mercy that we've received, how do we allow that to flow out to the people that are around us? Jesus in the Beatitudes give us probably a verse that you know. But it is a truth that we need to lock into. It is a truth that we need to grab a hold of, right? We're going to drill down on this today. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, right? The merciful care and reach out to help those that are in need. And so if you want mercy, then you should take care and be merciful to others. And so for today, as we look at mercy, here's how I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it as love in action. Mercy is love in action. Mercy is not just talk. It's not just emotions. It's not just feelings. And it certainly is a whole lot more than pity, right? A part of mercy is showing compassion to other people. And compassion is an interesting concept. We talk about people anymore as we talk about the word, and we use it like as a descriptive kind of word, right? An adjective to talk about how compassionate this guy was or how compassionate that gal was. But originally, the word compassionate wasn't an adjective. It's a verb. It was an action word. And so to be compassionate is to enter in to somebody else's pain, right? To enter in to somebody's suffering, not for the purpose of feeling sorry for them, but to enter into somebody's pain, to relieve them from the pain and to lift them out of it. So let me give you an example. Difference between, I think, pity and compassion, and they're really close. But I would think that pity would say, hey, you heard about so-and-so, they lost their job 3 months ago. How sad is that, right? Like that's pity, right? Compassion would say this. Compassion would say, hey, you heard about that guy who lost his job 3 months ago. I wonder what he needs. I wonder how we can go and we can find out how we can enter into that and help this person out. See, mercy is compassionate. Mercy is love in action. Mercy is not afraid to get your hands dirty and to step into the brokenness of other people's lives. Right? It's exactly what Jesus did when he took on flesh. Right? He became human. He stepped into our condition. He came into our humanity. He stepped into our brokenness in order to lift us out of the condition in which we were in. And now Jesus says to us, blessed are the merciful, the ones who show compassion, the ones who care and lift others out. Blessed are the merciful, for they're the ones that will receive mercy. Now I want to be very clear this morning and careful before I go any further. I don't want you to be thinking that I'm talking about any kind of a works-based salvation, right? If you've been around here long enough, you know where we stand on this, right? We cannot earn God's grace or favor. We cannot do anything to earn his mercy or grace or favor towards us. We are saved by faith through grace, not by works, so nobody can boast about that. But what God is saying to us is now that you've received my grace, now that you're a part of the family, how should we live? If you're a kingdom person, how should you live? Be merciful. Let mercy flow like a river from your life. Rather than being a reservoir, you become a river of mercy of God's grace. Right? Blessed are the merciful. And if we refuse to show mercy, if we refuse to be kind, we run the risk of cutting ourselves off from God's flow of compassion towards us when we're in our pain. So what does mercy look like? Well, Jesus, I think, gives us a clear picture when he heals the leper. Mark 1, take your Bibles out and turn with me to Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 40 and 45. We're going to look at this story. We can see what we can learn about compassion and mercy. It says this, and the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And moved with pity, or in other words, compassion, right? So word can also be translated as compassion, and some of your translations might have that, right? And we're going to use it that way today. He stretched out his hand, and he touched him, and he said, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for yourself cleansing that Moses commanded for a proof to them. And he went out and began to talk freely about it, and he spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let me just take a moment and talk about leprosy. Like, leprosy today is not really a thing, but back in Jesus' day, it was pretty widespread. In Jesus' day, there was no cure for leprosy like there is now, right? And first it kills the soul, and then it kills the body. It kills the soul because the leper was an outcast. He or she could not be touched by anyone, or they themselves would be considered unclean. So somebody who had leprosy was seen as a person who was judged by God. The assumption was is that that person brought that upon themselves and that somehow they deserved it. It was a sign of moral failure, and it wasn't just an outward failure, but it was an inward problem as well. And in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, when the law was given, the book tells us that lepers were not to be sent to doctors, they would be sent to the priests. They were not called unhealthy, they were called what? Unclean. This kind of sounds like a verdict instead of a diagnosis, but here's what the Bible has to say about how lepers were to act. Leviticus 13, verse 45, a leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, shall let the hair of his head hang loose, and shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean. Unclean. Just think about that for a minute. Because of his condition, this guy comes to Jesus. In order to protect the community from himself, he has to wear a mask over the lower part of his face. He has to spend the rest of his life drawing attention to himself by yelling unclean. In other words, look at me, right? I'm a failure. That there's something wrong with me. Stay away. That's what he had to do according to the law. Unclean is his confession that there's something broken in this man's life. Can you imagine the humiliation of that? Can you imagine the torment? Both physically as this disease eats away at your flesh and your nervous system. And emotionally, how confused he must have been. Like, what did I do to deserve this? Well, what is happening? Why am I being whipped or stoned for coming into public? Why do I have to live all alone? Leviticus 13:46 says, he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. All right, it's a death sentence. Complete banishment from the presence of God's people. Banished from his friends, from worship, from his family. Now, from his perspective, God had rejected him and not because he was not allowed to come to a place of worship. But so what does he do? He comes to Jesus in this public place. We read in the story of Mark, and Mark tells us that there's this huge crowd following Jesus that day. And so just imagine this guy showing up, yelling, unclean, unclean. Everybody's like getting out of his way, right? Nobody wants to be touched by this guy. And he comes up to Jesus in the middle of this crowd. And he says in Mark 1, verse 40, if you will, you can make me clean. Right? If you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you can help me. If you're willing, you can change my life. Notice he doesn't say, if you're able. He says, if you're willing. He knows Jesus is able. The question that is asked is, are you willing? There are people all around us, people where we live, people where we work, people wherever we go that are outskirts of society, people that are the untouchables, people that just don't quite measure up like this leper. And the question is are you willing to restore their dignity? Are you willing to share the good news of the gospel to give them life again? To bring peace to their lives, to relieve their loneliness, to show them love and compassion and mercy? Or are you willing to show those people what Jesus is like? I don't know about you, it's a question I've been asking myself all week. Am I willing? I have people in my life that are like this, right? You probably do too. One of the realizations that I've come to is unlike this guy in our story, some people don't want to be helped, right? Some people don't want God's mercy in their life. But I have to ask myself, am I willing? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Let's continue in our story. Look with me at verse 41. Moved with pity or compassion, he stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said to him, I will be clean. Jesus does the unthinkable, right? He touches the leper. And when he touches the leper, only one of two things can happen. Either the man's going to be healed or Jesus will become unclean. And because according to the law, when you touch the leper, he also became unclean. Only two options here. And of course, the man is healed, right? Just makes me think how long this guy had been when nobody had ever touched him. How long had it been since someone had given him a hug or patted him on the back or given him a high five? Mostly what he heard was people telling him to get out of the way. The only friends he had were only the other people that had the same condition that he had. We'll look at verse 41 again. Filled with compassion. In other words, Jesus enters into his pain and Jesus reached out and he touches this man. He doesn't just talk to him. He doesn't say, oh, you know, poor guy, you have leprosy. No, he does something about it. He reaches out and he touches him. I'm willing, he said, be clean. Super important that we get the fact that Jesus touched him before he spoke to him. I think it's just not enough to preach to people. We have to show them the love of Jesus as we start to talk to them about the love of Jesus. When Jesus touches this guy, years of loneliness were loved away. Years of sickness were healed in an instant. And this man instantly restored in his body and in his soul and the brokenness and the helplessness and the hopelessness. This desperate man can now finally go home to his family. Do you understand what that's like? You go home to your family every day and don't think anything about it. And yet this man finally gets to go home and be with his family. Let's take a look at a couple of ironies in the story of the leper. The first one's found in verse 44. Jesus says to the leper, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. And this is a part of the story that can be easily overlooked because the really exciting part of the story is already over, right? The guy gets healed. But we have to realize that if it's in the Bible, it's there for a reason, right? It's important. So why is verse 44 there? What is Jesus mean when he says, go to the priest and offer these sacrifices? What is he talking about? Well, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, chapter 13 is all about how a leper is supposed to live. Chapter 14 says, when he gets healed, here's what he's supposed to do. Leviticus 14, verses 13 and 14, and he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering and in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest and is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of his right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Really? Right? We got like blood everywhere. The lobe, the toe. Why is that important? Well, if it's in the Bible, it's important. There's something to it. So I kept reading, I kept doing some research, I kept finding, and I found Leviticus 8. Leviticus 14 tells us of the regulation for cleansing of the leper. Leviticus 8 tells us the regulation for ordaining a priest. Listen to this, Leviticus 8, verses 23, 24. And he killed it, and Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand, on the big toe of his right foot. And then he presented Aaron's son, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toe of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Now that's just getting gross, right? Like we got blood everywhere. Here's the point. The blood that cleanses the priest is the blood that cleanses the leper. The sacrifice that makes the priest a holy man acceptable to God is the sacrifice that makes the leper acceptable to God. What it means is that there's nobody unclean that is beyond cleansing. There's nobody that is so righteous and so holy in their own mind that they're above cleansing. Right? Whether you're a priest or a leper, it's the same sacrifice for all of us. We are all in the need of a Savior. All of us. Like I said before, it is a challenge to me to think about who are the untouchables in my world. Am I willing to reach out with the love of Jesus? Am I willing to share the gospel with them? Because Jesus is willing. He touches and he cleanses broken people. And guess what? He does that through us. He does it through the church. That's why it's called the body of Christ. He touches people through his people. It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We carry the presence of Jesus into other people's pain and their suffering in order to what? Lift them out. And here's the thing. Some of those broken people, they're asking the same question. Are you willing? Are you willing to help me? Thursday night, we had our Bible study here at the church, and we got all done, and it's raining like cats and dogs out there and dark, and so we're the last ones here, and we're closing up and go out to the car, begin to go to the exit. And notice that there was a car facing that direction sitting out by the sign. And so we pull up, and of course my wife says, you get out. Right? It's raining and it's dark. So I get out, tap on the window. The back window comes down, and this dog just kind of comes jumping out at me, and I'm like, whoa. And then she rolls down her front window. And I said, can I help you? Is there anything that we can do? Can we enter into your pain? Can we show you the mercy of God? Can we do anything to help you? And she says, no. She says, I just had to get out of my house. And so I ask her again, is there anything that we can do? And again, she declines. Just reminds me that sometimes sometimes people decline the mercy of God. It doesn't mean we quit. It just means that sometimes that happens. But the question of the day is are we willing? Here's my prayer. God, show me what to do to show your mercy to those who choose, that you choose to bring into my life. Holy Spirit, convict my heart. There's another irony in this story. Remember, according to the law, the leper had to live outside of the camp. He wasn't allowed to come in where the people were, and he had to live in lonely places. And again, look at verse 45, and it says that the leper went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news, and so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Here's the irony. The man meant well, and he might have thought that he was helping Jesus, but his disobedience actually hindered the ministry of Jesus, right? Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. Here's my point. It's always best to obey Jesus, right? We should never think that we have a better plan than his. All right, last point I want to make today is that mercy is a key to answer prayer. Where do you need mercy in your life right now? Where is there a place in your life where you've been praying God's mercy on it and like nothing has happened and you're going like what is going on here? Why is God not acting on my behalf? And maybe it's a personal need. Maybe it's a need here at our church. Maybe it's a need of our nation. Last week was Veterans Day. We honored and recognized those who fought for our freedom, a huge need in our nation, right? I want to remind you of the importance of praying for our nation, right? And we do that on the National Day of Prayer, right? It's like May 5th or something like that. Now, I get it. We can pray for our nation anytime, but that May 5th, at least on May 5th, we're going to do it, right? And I mention that because there's a time in the Old Testament where God's people were praying for their nation, and they were fasting and praying for God's hand, a blessing to be on their nation, and nothing was happening. Things were getting worse. And they were confused and they wondered why God wasn't answering their prayers. And God answered them by speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Here's what he says in Isaiah 58 verses 5 through 12. In such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Well, will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not like this fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness and to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. And then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedingly. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you shall call on the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. And if you take away the yoke from your midst and pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness of your gloom to be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire and scorch places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. What would happen if the church just did that? Right, if the church responded to the call to be the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out to people who need help in the name of Jesus, not in the name of yourself, not in the name of this church, but in the name of Jesus. God says through the prophet Isaiah, if you do that, then he will bless your nation. I will bless you as a people. And in other words, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Jesus, thank you for coming
into our world and showing us what it looks like to be merciful. Not just to say things, but to do things. Right? To get our hands dirty and to reach out and to touch people. Jesus, you said you came to seek and save the lost. My prayer this morning is that you would use, us to share the good news of the gospel with the people that we come in contact with. Jesus, use us to bless others with your mercy. It's in Jesus' name I pray.